Welcome to the Dirt on Data podcast, where we explore how to unlock the data needed to transform agriculture for smallholder farmers around the world. Our co-hosts, Richard Charlatan and Drew Whedon, talk to the people, businesses, researchers, and visionaries leading the ag data revolution. Along with our partners and collaborators, we explore the creative new ideas and innovations that improve food security, build sustainable and inclusive food systems, and catalyze a vibrant agricultural data ecosystem.
Welcome to the Dirt on Data. I'm Drew Whedon. This week, we're excited to welcome Rebecca Garrity, Chief Commercial Officer at Agrometrics, to explore the climate around agricultural data and provide practical advice for building data best practices and interoperability into tools that can support smallholder farmers. At Agrometrics, Rebecca leads the development of the agri-food data marketplace that we'll be discussing today and supports a range of other initiatives. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Drew. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Great. So just to start off, could you just tell us a little bit about Agrometrics, how it got started, your mission, what you're trying to achieve as an organization?
Sure. Yeah, we were set up in 2015 and we're one of the four UK agritech centres, but we focus solely on data and helping organisations, farmers and the supply chain realise kind of the potential that they've got in their data. So as I said, we were set up in 2015. Initially with public funding from the UK government, but increasingly we get funding from a whole range of different projects to really kind of build on and develop where we got started from that initial funding from government. And we're also the food and farming sector's data marketplace in the UK. So in 2019, we launched the first agri-food data marketplace for hosting and sharing data sets. So that could be agricultural data sets, environmental data sets. And I guess when I step back and look at it, what we're here to do, we're here to help people find data. We help businesses and organisations integrate data to get new insight. We try and help people to make data systems as easy to use as possible and as intuitive. And also to help reduce the burden on farmers, reuse and link existing data, because we hear that so often from farmers.
Great. Could you dive into that last point a little bit further and just help kind of draw the connection for the audience between the work that you're doing in the data space and how that is ultimately going to benefit that farmer at the end of the day, and especially smallholder farmers that we're focused on a lot? What's that connection look like?
We hear from farmers so often about actually the fear of sharing data and also that they're having to put data into so many different systems and tools and applications. So one of the things that we try to do is to reduce that burden by reusing existing data where we can, and to help farmers to overcome the challenges. And actually, I've been working in the agri-food sector now for over 20 years. And actually, the challenges that farmers face all around the world are very, very similar, whether that's to do with looking at our environmental impact, soil erosion, how to cope with plateauing yields, pressure to reduce inputs, dealing with pests and diseases. And actually, we believe that many of those can be solved with the help of data-driven technologies, but it's about actually getting that data together and putting it into tools and services to really help farmers with their decision-making.
Great. So, yeah, so it's not always necessarily the data itself, but maybe it's some sort of analytical product that is generated from the data, the types of products we talk about in prior episodes on our podcast, that ultimately at the end of the day, the farmer is going to benefit from that analytical product. Could you talk a little bit about what kind of barriers you've generally faced as you've been setting up this exchange, this marketplace, and how Agrometrics has tried to facilitate kind of more collaboration in this space?
Yeah, it's such an important point around, you know, what are the barriers? It's about data being trapped, about missing data, low levels of trust. And what really struck me when I joined Agrometrics is actually that not everybody even knows what data is available within organisations or in supply chains. There are concerns around who owns data, the way that data agreements might have been set up, fear around actually whether or not data will be misused. And so there's really low levels of trust as well. And I think the other thing that we've also found is that there's an absolute skill shortage and lack of confidence when it comes to data, both on farm but also along the supply chain. And so I think there's a lot to do in terms of upskilling and training. And so we play a role working with a whole range of different organisations to help, as I said, help people to find data that they're looking for, but also to catalogue data that's already out there. And we helped one organisation, the Agriculture and Horticulture Development Board, who work with a lot of farmers in the UK. We helped them to find over 1,000 data sets in their organisation and to catalogue it, and then to help train up the data stewards within that organisation to know how to reuse that data, innovate from that data, and essentially provide new services and tools for their farmer members. I think the other thing that we also find in terms of the barriers is around the sharing and the linking of data. And we were part of a fantastic project actually called Smart Cow. And Smart Cow is kind of what it says on the tin. It's all about helping move research forward when it comes to cattle. And this was a project where we worked with 14 different European research institutions, and our role was to help them to catalogue their data, manage the data, so that the research that they were investing in really added value. And it was about linking the different types of data so they got new insights, but also making sure that actually all the different research institutes had the right infrastructure to be able to do that as well.
Great. I think I want to circle back to something you said a moment ago, as you're talking about sort of pulling together or collating a lot of different data sets, even in the example you just gave. And I think something that we've heard a lot in this space is that as people are trying to do this, oftentimes people are speaking different languages. The data is in different formats and it's worded slightly different, and somebody describes this in this way and this in the other way, but you're talking about the same thing. So could you speak a little bit more in terms of kind of the work you're doing in the data, the ontologies, and the interoperability specifically, and what that looks like as you're trying to pull together these different data sets from different institutions and locations?
Yeah, it's a great point, Drew. I think, you know, and we're real advocates of data ontologies and linking data to get new insight. And I think, you know, that example I gave about working with the Agriculture and Horticulture Development Board, the first job was to help them to understand what data they had and catalogue that data. Then it was also about, okay, how do we tag that data so that we can link data together from different data sets so that you can then go on and create some new innovations as well. And I think, so it's an area where we see ourselves doing more and more of that work. And it was also an important thing that we brought into the Smart Cow project, again, adding tags, connecting data sets to similar data to get that new insight. And I think, you know, we'd be really interested in talking to other organisations that are keen to do that, because I think there's some great opportunities in terms of improving search functionality, but also in terms of creating those new insights as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you mentioned the kind of the data principles and some of the sounds like education that you're doing around that, but also some of the own principles that you apply yourselves. So, you know, could you maybe give a couple examples of some of the core data principles that you are promoting and using, and what, you know, the successful kind of implementation of those looks like in your specific context?
Yeah. So we're, again, big supporters of the FAIR data principles, and they're really important to Agrimetrics. They go to the heart of what we're all about. So FAIR stands for findable, actionable, interoperable, and reusable. And we have those principles in our mind when we're developing new programs or new projects or exposing data sets for organisations and for people. So a good example of where we brought that into and made that kind of a reality is we were working with BASF to help them produce a new farmer advisory tool. And the challenge that they faced was that some of their oilseed rape herbicides were being found in watercourses. And so they needed to work with their farmer suppliers to help them with understanding when is it safe to spray, and can they help their farmers make the right decision, the responsible decision around spraying And the brief from BASF was to make it as easy as possible and to minimise the amount of data input that was required from farmers. So we went out and we got data from our environment organisation, from our government organisation responsible for the environment, from the Met Office, and we used some of our data as well. And essentially, all that we needed from farmers then was, okay, is your field drained and what kind of cultivation method do you use? And what it did, it gives the farmers an automated red, amber, green status. Is it safe to spray today, or are the weather conditions and the water and the soil conditions such that actually there's a risk that this chemistry will leak into water courses? And so what that achieved was it was about, A, reducing the data burden on farmers, because we actually were able to find and link data from a whole range of sources already. It provided new insights to the farmers so that they could take an immediate decision about whether or not it's safe to spray. And then for both government and also for the company, it meant actually they could show and really make that positive move towards a responsible use and knowing that it was safe to spray. And that for us is all around kind of, it brings into play the fair data principles, finding the right data, making it interoperable, reusing existing data, but at the end of the day, also having a clear action at the end of that.
So Rebecca, you just mentioned the fair data principles and, you know, findability being one of the core elements here. Could you talk just really quickly about the platform that you've built, how you've made these data and these analytics easily findable and accessible for different users?
Yes, certainly, Drew. So one of the things that we've launched in 2019 was the data marketplace. And within the marketplace is a data catalogue. And within that, we have pulled together what we think are the key data sets for the people to have a look at from an agricultural and farming perspective. So that's data around fields, around soil, water, weather, the health of the crop, etc. And so on the data marketplace, you can filter by different type of data sets. So we've tagged all the data sets as well. And then you can see what data sets might be of interest. Each data set then has information about it. It will have what area does it cover? When was it last updated? And also, can I have a sample of that data that I can then try out as well? And is it a free to access data set, or is it something that we have to charge for as well? And then what we've tried to do as well, to make it as easy as possible to kind of visualize what happens when you link all some of that data together, we've developed a tool called Field Explorer, which is all about showing, okay, if I draw a shape around a field, what kind of data could I look at? So I can look at my soil data. I can look at what's a weather forecast looking like. What can I tell about my soils, about the health of my soils? Can I see what crop has been grown historically in that field, and what kind of habitat do we know about the area? So again, the marketplace is all around actually having access to a whole host of different data sets. We also try and bring it to life by doing things like Field Explorer. So really, okay, bring to life, what does that mean when you start linking it back to a specific farm, to a specific place as well?
Great. Are there any other applications or innovations that you are really excited about right now that are tied to the platform itself?
Yeah, there's a couple I'm going to talk about. The first one is a project that we've been involved in with a whole range of other organisations and with the European Space Agency. And it's called Forest Mind. And it's a platform that we've developed which can monitor deforestation for supply chains at scale. And that's really exciting. It's using satellite imagery data, isotope analysis data, a whole range of other data to help actually at a big scale really understand if any supply chains are causing deforestation. And the other one that we're really excited about is that we will soon be starting to host a whole thousands of environmental data sets for our government department for environment, food and rural affairs. And what is really important and exciting about that is that if we're to make the progress that we need to make on climate change and the environment, farmers, businesses, organisations need to link decisions to data, and actually being able to host a whole range of open access environmental data sets that other people can then innovate from or use in their business. We're really excited about that opportunity.
Yeah, and that's such a critical and timely need as well. Do you have any of those kinds of examples of where we're talking about using the data set that you have on the marketplace or on the exchange for the further development of applications? Again, going back to the crop analytics space, are you seeing a lot of activity there still? I mean, of course, the environment is critical right now, absolutely, but would just love to get a sense of the agricultural training data sets that you have, how you're seeing those being used.
Yeah, so we have on the data marketplace, we've got a whole range of farm data. So we've mapped all the field boundaries in the UK, and we'd love to be able to do that in other countries as well. And then from that, we then host a whole range of different data sets. So soil data sets, weather. We've also got in-season crop identification, which is a product that we've developed called Crop Lens AI, which is about being able to assess, okay, what is the crop that's growing in the ground within the season? And then we also have a whole host of other weather data as well. And then we also work with Airbus, and we have available their crop analytics data. So that is about looking at a whole range of crop and field attributes from a range of optical satellites, so that actually from a farm perspective, you can get much more information within season about how the crop is growing and the health of the crop as well.
So as you've been putting together these different data sets, these different products, I'd really love to hear if you have any insights or takeaways or things that others should know about what it takes to put this kind of data infrastructure together, what you've learned, key takeaways from that process.
Oh, that's a really good question. I think for us, we've learned so much in the last 7 years. You know, if you're thinking of putting together an infrastructure that has got similar aims and objectives, then talk to other organisations. And what I've really found is that people are very open about the journey that they've been on. And we always encourage people to come and talk to us about what we've learned along the way, about what types of data sets are important. How do you make them accessible to people? How do you then turn that into insight on farm through the tools and the services that people want to produce? I think the other thing from me is also for businesses to understand what data they've already got and to catalogue that. And where you can, you know, actually what of that data is data that you can make open access so that other people can innovate from, or that you can innovate from. And I think the other area for me is also about how can you work together with other organisations or across supply chains to overcome training and data governance issues? And where do you really need to work through some of those knotty issues together?
Excellent. Thank you. Any other final thoughts or ideas you'd like to discuss, or ideas that you think are critical for people to understand in this space?
I think for me, there's a lot of new innovation going on. So whether that's new satellites, new companies, new ag tech companies starting up, and new sensors, and actually just keep your eyes open about what others are doing and be open to discussing with others what they're working on, because actually that's where so many ideas are generated. I think the other thing for me is that where you can, when you're designing anything for the pharma sector, then try and reuse existing data, link data, and reduce the burden on farmers and businesses.
Thanks, Rebecca, for those great answers and for all of your ideas today. I think we've talked quite a bit about not only the data marketplace and exchange that you've created, but more generally some of the things that people need to think about when they're doing similar work. And I think the point that you brought up about ensuring that you collaborate and talk with other people who have tried this before and try to not replicate those same challenges is really critical. And so that's one of the most important reasons why we wanted to have you join. And so we really appreciate your time today. And thanks again to everyone else who is out there listening. Next month will be our last podcast in this season. We're going to do a quick look back and pull out some highlights from the episodes that we've created so far, and share where we're going as a project next. So we look forward to seeing you then, and thanks for tuning in to The Dirt on Data.
The Dirt on Data is produced by the staff of Tetra Tech's Enabling Crop Analytics at Scale initiative and supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Our special thanks to our host, Drew Whedon, and to our guest this week, Rebecca Guharty. You can follow Agrimetrics' work online at www.agrimetrics.co.uk. To receive the latest updates from the ECAS project, follow us on Twitter at ECAS_AgData or visit our website at cropanalytics.net.